Are you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show. Today, we'll walk you through the three most important elements you need to address when editing your thriller. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and when the world's leaders are faced with espionage and assassination attempts, madmen threatening cities with biological weapons, or even asteroids headed to Earth for total extinction-level events, they call on one man. He's known to the world as the editor, but to me, he's my friend and co-host, Peter Turley. Peter, how are you doing today?
I'm thrilled. That intro itself was thrilling.
It is very. You are a thrilling man.
I think that had everything that a thriller would need.
Especially if you could have all those events taking place in the same thriller. I mean,
yeah.
It would be wild story.
Then a certain Transformers director would have to write it if it was going to be right.
Yeah. I can't put my, I just can't get that name exactly right there. It's something like an ocean or a lake, maybe a bay. Bay. Maybe that's what it is. So, Peter, how's it been going? It
feels like really
it's been
good.
A couple of weeks since.
It has, hasn't it? It's been a few weeks since we caught up. I think we've been kind of in the depths of things. I know that we're coming towards the end of our 90-day challenge, and that's kind of had its own challenges, and I've been really focused on trying to make sure that I'd walk away from that having achieved what I set out to. So I've been really busy kind of like tying up some writing projects, carrying on with a few goals that I'd sort of put in that group. It's been really busy. I mean, it's a long challenge, as you know. So this last week has been hectic, really. But it's all good. So back to the show and back to the thrill of it.
Oh, I know. It's good to be doing this. And like you say, we've got like 9 days left at the time of this recording for our 90-day challenge. You want to finish strong. I've certainly had a ton of obstacles and roadblocks that I can make excuses for, but I just dropped the ball. I just have not been able to keep going as well as I wanted to. But it certainly has been a learning experience for me, and given me a lot of tools to help keep me going. And it certainly isn't like, oh, I'm just giving up everything. It's just trying to find that time. It's certainly helped me like reorganize. It's done a great job of keeping my life better paced, and noticing, oh, this is the problem that's keeping me from doing the exercise, or this is the problem that's keeping me from doing this. And so it's going to help me in the next, months to come to just keep on working on these things and being able to achieve those goals that I want. For sure.
Yeah. And I think those problems don't necessarily surface in like a short challenge. So I think that has been that's kind of what I mean by like what's occupied my week this week. It's kind of like a marathon runner hitting that wall that, when you have such a long challenge, these things come up and you're like, right, okay, I need to go out and find a way to deal with this, to maintain my writing habit or to maintain my content creation, over such a long period of time. But like you say, it has been great to kind of like learn those things about myself and what works and what doesn't. It's been great.
Yeah. I'm excited to look forward to doing something like that again in the future. Just continue to grow and make things better. And so that's what, I'm hoping that for listeners out there for the show, whether you've followed us through the 90-day challenge or not, that you've also been able to start seeing ways that you can keep improving yourself. And that's what this show is all about, is just what's not working and making it better to get the final product that you want. So,
yeah, it's kind of like Jacob said on our last show that, you as writers or editors, we have these tools that you can apply to, to any situation or anything that you're working on, and it's just discovering what they are. So, and if you've not checked that show out, go back and listen to it because it was a great one.
That was a great show. Jacob was a lot of fun. So very intelligent. Gave me a lot of notes to think about when writing new scenes and then helping out clients to make sure that they're putting their better stuff.
So. It's always a good show. You know you've got a good guest on when like you're taking notes as well. You're like, exactly. I should be hosting, but you know I'm going to make a few notes while I'm at it.
Yeah, I was like, hold that thought, please. I got to just write that down for a second. Oh, it was a lot of good fun. And today with the show, I'm excited to talk about this. Thrillers are some of my favorite things to work on. They certainly, you know, when I was younger, reading the Firm and The Pelican Brief and these types of thriller, legal thriller novels, I had a lot of fun reading those. And it's always caught my attention and these kind of characters and what needs to unfold. And if you're out there writing thrillers, you know, and you're ready for that editing process, so we want to show the three most important elements you definitely have to have to make a thriller work. But first off, let's talk about exactly what a thriller is, because if you go in there, you know, and you're looking at different genres, sometimes thrillers might have different aspects, you know, of the crime genre or the mystery genre, but thrillers themselves kind of are off on their own. And one of the things that I think if you take a look at that is, you know, like with a mystery, like let's say you've got a murder at the beginning of the novel, and this could still be a thriller, but if it's all about solving that mystery of who murdered that person, then you're definitely in a mystery genre. But if that murder is then the first step in someone else's plan to do something really terrible, you know, like release a plague upon the world, like a Dan Brown type thriller. You know, that's what this is about. It's not about solving that crime. It's about stopping a much larger event from taking place.
Yeah. And, you know, hope obviously we can get into some of the differences between like mysteries and thriller later on. But obviously we were talking off air, like it seems out of all the genres to have possibly the most subgenres, and there are so many different ways you can take a thriller. But I think that's like sort of testament to like all the elements of storytelling really come into play, I think, when writing thrillers. And I kind of think of it as, say you've got a band or a rock band and they're performing and one of the musicians makes a little mistake. You might not notice it because, you know, the band can kind of cover each other up and it's kind of like lost in the music. Whereas if you have like a classical piece and someone hits a bum note, it's really obvious. And that's what I think of when I think of thrillers. I think that all these tools and techniques that we use as storytellers, and some of the first stories probably were thrillers or had thrilling elements. They really have to be sharp and on point with a thriller, because it really stands out. You know, if your plot isn't watertight in a thriller, then the whole thing could fall down around you. So I'm really looking forward to getting into the show because I think that they're tough to write, and you're a thriller writer, essentially, aren't you? You dabble with
I dabble. That's where I started dabbling when I get the chance to write.
So hats off to that.
And so the first element we want to talk about is pacing, and you know, pacing is, like you said, this is in every element of every single novel. You got to have pacing, but pacing done wrong in a thriller, it completely ruins everything else that you're doing. So when you're taking a look at pacing, you know, what we've talked about pacing before in shows, and what are we really talking about here? You know, I definitely don't want to have the Michael Bay. We don't want to have like the just increasing, just fast paced all the way to the end. We still have to have these couple of slow parts and moments so that we can have the reader catch a breath. But we want to continually be moving forward at a faster pace than you would have in a slower novel, maybe even the mystery novel, where it's taking a lot of time to develop what's going on. We need to have this development taking place quite quickly.
Yeah, I think it's almost like it starts with a bang, like a race, you know, with the starting pistol. You know, you may have an event, like a really horrible event, and then you're going to figure out what led to it or what comes after it. But, you know, completely opposite to like a Michael Bay, which will then just be full of bangs and explosions to keep the pace high. I think it's kind of like the type of pacing which is anticipation more than the flashes and the bangs where the things are happening to keep the pace high. I think it's that kind of high pace of, is this going to happen? Or like you're on the cusp of something terrible happening.
Yeah, always almost happening there. And like, especially, so let's take a look at this on a chapter by chapter basis, you know, that each chapter's got to end with almost a cliffhanger, you know, with that feeling that this is we need to pay a special attention to the beginning and the end, especially the end with that cliffhanger, to get them to move into the next one, that they want to continually move forward with the story, because almost as if you're going to put it down, you just don't feel like there's a break there, you know, like you don't feel, because at the end of it, you know, even you've had this slow chapter where you're developing stuff, at the end something happens that propels the story forward and is going to make the reader want to continue on. So the cliffhanger ending, and when I say cliffhanger, it's not the cliffhangers like, and the door started to open, end the chapter, you know, so that they go to the next chapter and then the door finishes opening and it's the mailman delivering a package. You know, that's not the cliffhanger we're talking about. It's that idea that something has been learned, you know, something has been discovered there at the end of that chapter that will make them want to go forward to the next one.
Yeah, and because just pure action, I love how we always end up ripping Michael Bay, but can be just action can be boring, can't it? You know, like at, in and of itself, without that kind of human element. So I think just, you know, ending chapters and opening chapters with kind of like this action or something happening, I think it's really useful when you do have that human element. So, you know, maybe perhaps something's revealed that moves the plot forwards, and you know that there are those little payoffs, you know, so you're not just using the cheap trick like the door opens and then there was no one there at the start of the next chapter. You know, there has to be, you don't get away with that with a thriller, you know, you have to have that payoff at the start of the next chapter.
And one of the second elements, I guess this really kind of can tie into this one. The second element you really want to make sure is that you're constantly adding more problems to the story. Again, if the story starts off with a murder, then we continually add new problems to that and where this is going. So let me give you an example. This is from my own book, Another Day, Another Name. You know, you're getting into characters. So it does open with a murder that's actually taking place where we see the assassin doing the killing. And then we flash over to another character and we have a slow moment where this character is introduced and it's at his sister's birthday party, you know, really not something that should happen. But then his ex-wife shows up and the ex-wife, you know, pulls him aside, you know, down into the hall and confronts him about all this money that he owes her. And so that is where we leave that off, though. We've introduced a new element that this character has a bigger problem in their life. And we've added an additional problem, you know, which makes us want to read to the next chapter. Even though the chapter itself was not particularly action oriented, there wasn't any gunfire, you know, no car chase, nothing like that. There's plenty of that in the book in different places, but we've got these moments, these elements where it's still slow and has a little character development, but at the end of it, it presents something different that adds a problem, heaps another problem onto him and makes him move forward.
Yeah, and this kind of switching between key scenes can also be great. I mean, it's a great opportunity to pile different kinds of problems on and also to keep the pacing going, you know, so you build up to kind of a climax or just before a climax, and you don't necessarily immediately want to reveal or progress past that point, but switching to another key scene allows you to take a break from that whilst also still piling it on in a different way, and with it being a different pressure. So in your case, the pressure of the ex-wife and the questions and the money, that element is it's a different kind of problem, isn't it, to the murder and the high action. But you're still piling it on, so you're tugging at different strings almost.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, what you want to do. I would say that the thriller is definitely more plot oriented. If we were to scale up the weight of what element needs to be there or what part needs to be there more, whether it's character development or plot, I think we're leaning much stronger, putting more weight on that plot side. But it doesn't mean that we're going to ignore our characters, and our characters can have a lot of problems. They can grow. But I think, you know, if we look at the classical thrillers or the classic thrillers that say, for instance, the James Bond, you know, that he is pretty much a static character. I don't mean that he's a one-dimensional character, but he's static. It means that he doesn't really have much evolution and change between the different books. We do get some, but it's very minimal, you know, that we have the same problems heaped on him, he fights the same demons inside, and we have the same character pretty much from the beginning to the end. And that's okay. But we're going to still continue to give those problems to that character, or we're giving more problems through the plot. Either way, this is a good time when you're looking at your manuscript, you're going through, you're checking it chapter by chapter, you're examining the pacing here. Where have you given your readers a chance to break? Where have you given, are you making sure that we're continually upping the ante, as some people say, that we're adding more problems or piling those problems on at the end of the chapter? Have we left the chapter end boring? Has the reader been given a reason to move on to the next chapter? Or have we left it like with some kind of exposition that's really kind of just brought it to a halt?
Yeah. And I think, you know, talking about the flawed character, and, you know, thrillers are all about conflict, and, you know, internal and external conflict is important to have in any novel. But again, you know, like I sort of made the analogy to a classical music, you know, this stuff, I feel it's more important in a thriller. So obviously, you know, you kind of want your character to keep these demons in a way, because it allows you to torture them more, you know, throughout the novel. And, you know, you have like, obviously you want to avoid stock characters, but you have like a broody detective, you know, who has like anger problems. You know, you want to sort of see, you want to sit and watch and wait to see if these anger issues cause her problems further down the line. You know, you kind of want to watch to see if she does go off. And, you know, I've always found it interesting that one of the main elements of stories is character growth. But it's handled very differently in thrillers.
Especially if you're doing a series of thrillers, if you have a main character who is going to be in each of these. And because, so let's take a look at, we could take a look at James Bond again. Each one of these is a standalone novel with the same character in it, but it is a series of James Bond novels. So I think you're going to find the series is going to be different in thrillers, is each one is more more apt to stand on its own for its own story, but it brings in some similar characters again and again to move things forward to the next level. You know, Dan Brown, same thing. You know, each one of those events he goes on, you know, these adventures that deal with things from the past is in a way its own separate. You know, they're not connecting them together, even though he deals with the same types of elements every time.
Right. I've never actually read any of the Dan Brown novels, so I'm guilty of that. But I was steered away from them. Are they good? Are they worth checking out?
They're fun. You know, they really are. They're a fun, fast paced novel. But I think so. Here's the danger. This is going to be the danger any time that you have a static character that doesn't have development, or you're reading a series that are more standalone series, is that they can start to feel repetitive. It was the same thing I was almost going to call him Tom Clancy, but the Firm, John Grisham novels, you know, that even though the characters are different, they've just really felt a lot the same. And that's okay. You're going to find an audience that really likes. And that's why we, you know, if you go onto Amazon right now, and we were checking this out beforehand. So I'm going to open this other page real quick. Maybe even screen share it here. So, okay. So if you take a look at this, if you're watching it, I'm going to read it off here. So we're going into Amazon's bestseller list and we're dropping down. We're looking at, this is the action adventure ones. I want to get to the actual mystery thriller side. So, you know, that they take mystery thriller and suspense and they drop it into four more categories. So if we click on the thriller one, we all of a sudden we have these categories: assassination, conspiracies, crime, espionage, financial, historical, legal, medical, military, political, psychological, pulp, techno thrillers, and terrorism. Meaning that you've got pretty wide open categories there, and that you have people who love to read financial thrillers. You know, like this is what they want to read about, is that they have an interest in finance. Maybe they work in the financial industry, so they like to have stories that are told. So yeah, you're going to find it the same way. The person who may only come into your series for one or two of them because they thought the characters were interesting may not stay for a static character all the way through. I love the James Bond novels because I love the character of the spy. And so I will keep going to the spy ones. I wasn't so interested in the lawyer one. So if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think just like an aside, these can be so niche that perhaps arguably out of all the genres, you know, writing or when you, especially when you come to editing the thriller, research is possibly of the most important out of almost all of the genres. I mean, I know like John Grisham, for example, he was a lawyer, so he kind of had, you know, one up on on some other people. And he's quoted as saying, I seriously doubt I would ever have written the first story had I not been a lawyer. I never dreamed of being a writer. I wrote only after witnessing a trial. And, you know, so obviously everything in his book you can kind of trust is on point, but you're going to get people who are really interested in case law, you know, reading his work. So, you know, if you get something wrong, then they're going to pick up on on that stuff. So that's just a side note, but, I think that looking at all those off genres that you showed us there, you know, you've research is really, really, really important.
It really is, you know, and especially if this is what you're going for. If you are going to try to be the king of pulp fiction, you need to understand pulp fiction. I made the mistake, 3 years ago when we published. It was under the title Love's Deception then, before the rewrite. We squeezed it into the pulp one because it had a few elements of pulp, but really it wasn't pulp. And so, like, you can't just go and squeeze something into a category because you think that it might be an easy category to sell in. You know, that's not the way to do it. So, you know, you really want to make sure that you're hitting the notes here. We're just giving you the general, like, these are going to be three elements that are going to be in any one of these genres that you have to have in your thriller. But when you picked out, you know, like you're writing in the medical thriller genre, then you better be spending some time understanding that, reading the other ones, understanding medical procedures, understanding what's going on. You know, maybe it's the CDC where you're looking at, disease control type of things. But whatever that is, you need to really understand it. You need to become the professional in that area. Getting to our third one, and we've talked a lot about the problems, and you can see this, you know, you're adding on all these problems. And what is this going to? It's going to a head. It's going to a wonderful climax there at the end where you're going to be able to tie this stuff together, tie up the loose ends, make sure everyone understands what's happening in the thriller, and then have a rewarding payoff. And that's the third element we want to talk about, is making sure that we're giving the reader what it is that they came for.
Yeah, and I think as well as it giving them what they came for, but also avoiding, like you just said, you know, you need to know your genre, you need to have read what's gone before, and then do something a little different. You know, I mean, when you're looking and you're editing over this, you want to kind of, when you come to a turning point, think, you know, what would the reader expect here? You know, make a list of things that they might expect to happen, and then do something different to that. So, because the payoff, again, is so important in within this genre, that it has to be something different. It has to be something shocking. And, you know, this book is going to carry itself on being shocking and on being different. So I think, you know, consider what would be expected and then try and do something different. And I know I've said this a few times, but that's going to be something you always do. But it's more important here.
It really is so important. The twists are so important in the thriller genre, because they've seen it all before. And this isn't, and I want to put a caveat on there, you know, when we're talking about shocking, you know, it doesn't mean you've got to do something, you know, like grotesquely shocking. It's just something that's going to surprise them. You know, that's what the twist is all about.
Yeah, the surprise could even be, I mean, think Dexter. You know, you have like a serial killer who you kind of explains away his killing by the fact that he's removing evil people. You know, he only kills killers, basically. And, you know, the shock there can be that you actually empathize with him and you almost fall into the trap of seeing him as the good guy. And then you're conflicted and you're like, hang on a minute, is he good? Is he bad? I'm confused because I kind of sympathize with the fact that he's killing these people. So, you know, that's what I mean when, you know, you can do something different or, you know, go against what they would expect. And it could just be where, you know, you shock them with the way that they view a character. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, something huge or some kind of big plot twist.
Mm-hmm. And being able to, and when I say a rewarding payoff doesn't mean you have to have a happy ending. You know, favorite characters can die, things can happen. This is, you know, you're dealing with life and death. The idea of the sacrifice is a very good one in the thriller, you know, that someone sacrifices himself to save something even more, because that's usually what you're doing. You know, you're constantly building up to something bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, if let's say, just for instance, you know, you're writing in the terrorism thriller categories, you know, that you might have a person that sacrifices himself to stop the bomb or whatever, you know, needed to happen there at the end. And so in America, especially, like we expect a happy ending. So that can be one of the things that you can turn it on the head, is not have the happiest ending that they thought might be there.
Yeah. You know, it could even be, you know, a sacrificing themselves to save other people from them, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil where that was from, because I really wanted to go on about that, but then, you know, we make a habit of spoiling way too much on this show.
We do spoil a lot on this show. And we apologize. No, I'm not sorry for that. Like, no. Yeah. I'm not sorry for spoiling things on the show. Like, you need to be out there finding this stuff out. But there are so many good things that you can do to have that rewarding payoff. And so this is another thing you're going to look at. You have your manuscript out there. You're going to look to make sure every time you asked a question, you know, that you posed a question to the reader that made them turn the page to try to find the answer. Have you tied up those loose ends by the end of the novel? If not, is it because you're going to tie it up in another novel afterward? Was it? And in those cases, you know, had you spent too much time on it? Because if you've spent 25% of the time of the book, the reader will expect that to be paid off. You know, like if you've been spending that much time or more on a particular issue and a problem, we want to see that result in some way, good or bad, but it has to be tied up. If it's just something that's been mentioned, maybe it's about a character, you know, and the inner demon stuff, and you're going to work on that at another point, that's fine. Again, you're looking at this to make sure that you're being clear, that it's made sense, you know, that the solution was not. Again, this is going back to what Peter says, that you've got people in these, you know, that read these genres that are very, that could be very well versed in medical fields or in the world of corporate espionage or in the world of military. And so if you give an answer, if you tie something up that is not true in the real world, you know, you're going to get called out on that.
Yeah. And, you know, your payoff here, it really is, it's the money shot. And it has to be right, because in a thriller especially, it's already been such an emotional journey. You know, you've played with the feelings, they've been on a roller coaster ride. That's why the payoff is so important in this genre, because it's got to be different, it's got to surprise the reader, you know, they have to maybe even feel something new that you've, you know, give them an experience of some emotion that you've not already dragged them through for the rest of the book. So, you know, something that they can feel fresh, because you've probably already made them feel more than they thought that they could possibly feel by reading a thriller.
Yeah, exactly. I think back to reading Dean Koontz's The Husband. This was a really fantastic novel where it took a lot of what I thought was going to happen and then kept turning it and kept turning it. And each time it did these things, increased the problems, you know, that it, every end of every chapter made me want to open up the next one. And yet it still had moments where I had time to reflect, to take a quick break with a pacing and then be pushed back into it again. We want to have that nice up and down again. And then of course at the end the payoff was fantastic. And that's, I think, what's some of the best stuff. So we had Jacob Larch on the show previously, you know, and we talked about screenwriting, and I understand, you know, like it is difficult to go in and consume a ton of books to really get some of these. There are some great thriller movies and especially TV shows especially that can give you a good understanding of having a good payoff. So for instance, the show The Shield, like it's several seasons long. And you might as well read some other books too. But by the end of that, like we've come so far with the characters, you know, that payoff at the end, although it is not a happy ending, is perfect. And it gives the perfect payoff for what it was that you went through, you know, and it has the perfect emotional release. That's one of the things you want to think about when you're going through your manuscript, is what that emotional feeling was that you want them left with at the end of that book.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice. And you know, thrillers already, you know, pride themselves, I think, on having strong scenes and, you know, very visual scenes and kind of like a movie. So I think when you're editing your story, it does benefit you to think of it in terms of visuals, you know, what mood is being put across by the visuals in this scene. So, yeah, I just want to back up what Clark's saying there, that, you know, watching these shows and these movies can really strengthen, you know, your toolbox when you come back to looking over your manuscript, like particularly in thrillers.
Yeah, especially with when we were talking about, you know, the pacing, that we're not ending up in full scene, that we're giving something at the end, you know, that makes a person want to go to the next spot, that we're opening in the middle. You know, we're not having these really boring transitional scenes between our chapters. So again, we're about out of time. Again, the three elements we want to really address here that you need to look at in whichever thriller genre you're writing is you're going to check that pacing. You're going to go through your manuscript and make sure that your pacing is good. The end of every chapter encourages the reader to move to the next chapter, that you're increasing the problems constantly throughout the entire thing, whether they're the individual problem of the protagonist or the bigger plot problems. You're going to probably be tossing the bigger plot problems on more, you know, where you have almost solved the solution, but then it's become something bigger than they ever thought possible. And then in the end, we want to make sure we have a rewarding payoff, thinking about what the reader might have expectations for, and then twisting that on its head. It doesn't have to be a happy ending. You know, that it is something that has a good payoff and that they're going to be left with a great emotion that they're going to then tell their friends about, that it's going to be a fantastic read.
Yeah. And if, you know, you really want to know how to do endings well for chapters to keep the pacing high, check out 24 if you've not already watched it, because that stuff's addictive.
And that's what you want. You want to have this addictive feeling that they just can't get enough of this book. You know, they really can't put it down. It is that cliche page turner. And it's going to be that way for a reason. So, Peter, do you have anything to finish up with?
No, that's it. I just wanted to finish by saying, you know, you can take the shortcut and, you know, watch some TV episodes that do this ending thing really well, because, you know, like you said there, the first point of pacing is the one of the fundamentals of thriller writing. And there are many ways that you can learn that. So whichever works best for you and is more enjoyable, go for that.
Excellent. Excellent final there. Okay. So thank you so much for being a part and listening to the show today. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. That means so much to us. It helps others discover this show. We also do it here on YouTube. If you're watching it live, give us a like on YouTube, share it, or plus on Google. If you're an editor who'd like to be a guest on the show, please drop us a line at thebookeditorshow.com. Also, don't forget editorial services there that are available. We'd love to help you make your novel the best possible. And I'm Clark Chamberlain for my co-host, Peter Turley. Keep writing, keep learning, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.